I'm much, much less fixated on the destination than I ever have been before. I spent a lot of my life thinking, this is where I want to get to, and I'm not stopping till I get there. And now I still have that mindset, but in kind of more specific plans. But really, I'm just trying to enjoy the journey. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and welcome back to DefenderCast. This is going to be fun. My next guest and I have never really properly met before, apart from running next to each other on the treadmill a few times. For me, I want to take this podcast to a different level, and I want to start using it to meet new people that inspire me. And my next guest and I got together, started talking about a week ago, and you'll hear on this podcast really the first time we start to get to know each other. So no major introduction from me. The one thing I will say is that this podcast is called DefenderCast, and what it's about is really business, property, and positive thinking.
Okay.
So I'm trying to merge these things together that collide in my world, and I thought from what I'd seen so far that you'd be a good fit. So why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are.
So I'm Grant Bates, and I work for Hamptons International, and primarily I value upper-end property and list upper-end property, so specifically high-net-worth clients, public eye clients, and that's what I do, yeah. And I go to Barry's occasionally.
Yeah, yeah. So you just started at Barry's, haven't you?
Yeah. So I've my friend Ollie introduced me to it. Weird, it's been around like 5-6 years and I didn't even know about it. But obviously that's where I met you. Just started loving it.
Yeah.
Dying every day when I do it. But loving the 6 a.m. starts for sure.
A bit of insight, it is now 9 o'clock. Yeah. We met at 6 a.m. this morning. We did, so we've been up for a few hours. Yeah. Both had a few coffees. Yeah.
And a Red Bull,
one of us. So I'm excited to sort of get stuck in, see really just a different view of, I think we could cover everything really today, business, property and positive thinking. Clearly you've been property for a while. Do you want to give us a quick plotted history of...
Yeah, for sure. So I started straight from school, basically. I decided not to go uni, much to my family's dismay. I was the only one actually out of all my mates that didn't go. I just went straight into property, started working outside of town for a couple of years for a small company local to where I lived. So that's sort of Ealing Way.
Who was that?
Elliot Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. So like Harrow, Sudbury, that sort of way. And then the opportunity came up to work for a company called Urban Spaces in the city, who I think you worked for.
Yeah, well, that strangely. Was random. We had breakfast together this morning, a first proper conversation we'd ever had. And I was like, I started at a firm called Urban Spaces. And you're like, no, I started at a firm called Urban Spaces.
Yeah, I was there.
But actually, the whole Green & Co connection is pretty much where everyone's...
I feel like everyone's done an innings. Has been there at some point. Yeah. So yeah, Urban Spaces is part of Green & Co, which you obviously know. So that was... Really, that was probably...
Tell everyone what that about Urban Spaces.
Yeah, so I don't want to say that, well, what it was more fun. I love Hamptons to Pieces, my current company, but it was more fun. I mean, obviously all we sold there were lofts, warehouses, cool spaces, unique spaces, and it was a lot of fun. And I was there for 5-6 years, had a really good time there.
Did you love instantly, did you love property instantly? Did you always want to?
For sure.
Because I think a lot of people that will listen to this will be thinking, lots of questions I get asked, how do you get into it?
I get asked that a lot on Instagram, to be honest with you.
And it's just the hard graft at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be super candid, maybe overly candid I was... So there's a bit more meat to the bones on me not going to university, but basically I wasn't in the best place at the time. And it was my dad actually that drove me to do it. He wanted me to get a job, short version, went out, bought me a suit, helped me write a CV, dragged me around loads of estate agents. I can't say I was entirely keen at that time.
Yeah.
But as soon as, I promise you, as soon as I went in first day, second day, loved it. Mm. Love selling, love meeting people. The cliche things that people say they love about agency are true. And just never looked back. Just progressed. As I say, went to Urban in the city and then got drawn by a corporate in Hamptons and an opportunity to deal with even more expensive property. I mean, a different kind of person that I met through Urban. And the rest is history, really. I love it. I will be doing this as long as I, I can, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
So absolutely. You currently work for Hamptons. Mm. What, give us a, just an overview for people listening, what the sort of scale of the size of Hamptons?
Yeah, they're a really big company. So they're a big corporate, close to 100 offices in the UK, and making acquisitions as well at the moment, and previously Green & Co. we just discussed.
Yeah.
They acquired them, and that's on the cusp of a rebrand to Hamptons. As part of that, they again coincidentally bought Urban Spaces,
yeah,
which gives us a loft arm. So they're a huge outfit, for sure. And there's a lot more, some things obviously I can't talk about. There's a sure. lot of exciting things on the horizon.
Tell me those later.
But yeah, it's great, growing fast. And
so since you arrived at Hamptons, mm. have you been through different aspects of the company? Because you said, I think you said you're a valuer now, and I'd like to drill down into what I describe as the old Foxtons model, where they actually had valuers and NEGs separately, which always made a lot of sense to me. Mm. Subsequently, they dropped that and things have sort of reversed back into a everyone needs to eat what they kill kind of. So I've got my own views on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what sort of, how have you progressed within the firm?
Yeah, so I...
And how long have you been there actually?
So I joined 2012. So I've been there about, what's that? Seven years now. Yeah. And I started as a senior negotiator, so only selling.
Yeah.
And I was also capped. So I worked in flats, and there was a value cap to what you can sell, which was 1.35, I think. I then progressed from there to assistant manager of the flat team, then manager of the flat team, then manager of the office, then senior manager, and now associate director. So,
and what is it that's allowed you to climb up the ladder? Is it what are the core things?
So I think initially with agency, it starts with figures, right?
Yeah.
Put the figures on the board. That's what gets you noticed. But as we briefly discussed when we had a coffee earlier, it's not always the case that the best salespeople make the best managers.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a big learning curve for me there. But my sales skill set definitely helped me progress initially.
Get noticed.
Exactly. Definitely. And then helps you win instructions when you start valuing, obviously, as well. But you have to have a lot more strings to your bow when you start getting into management. You know, I think anyone that's managed people will tell you that's the hardest part is managing people and having an understanding of what drives them and what motivates them.
Is it the sort of thing that you, especially in a business that size, the sort of thing that you can go and knock on someone's door and say, hi, I'm Grant, this is who I am, this is where I want to get to?
Yeah.
Was there some of that going on?
Yeah, definitely. They give you a lot of license, first of all. They do give you a lot of autonomy, particularly when you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
And I think for me as well, my direct superior was my superior in office as well.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's now out of office running a lot of offices, I built a relationship with him. He gave me my initial job, built a long-term relationship with him. And it does, even though it's a big company, it does feel like the door's
always open
to having those conversations for the best people.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I speak to people all the time who are frustrated with their inability to climb up. And then I look at someone like you who's, you know, just gone from step to step to step to step. And I assume that we haven't discussed, but there's the next step and the next step and the next step on your mind.
For sure.
And I think that is a kind of positive mindset, which is I'm taking this no matter what.
Yeah.
And if I need to have the best figures and I need to be good at managing people and I need everyone to know who I am, then I'll do whatever I need to.
Yeah, I think that's universal, right? That's across all industries.
Yeah.
And I said it a lot on my Q&As and I get messages a lot, like you say, you know, how did you get to where you are? What do you do? And honestly, it might sound a bit cliche, but it is hard work. 90% of it is hard work. And I think it starts with positive mindset, particularly for me anyway, relates to the gym and working out for me. That for me puts me in a really positive mindset, which is why I do the early classes. You know, I get up early because I like to have most of the to-do list of my day complete by 8-9 o'clock, and then I can push on.
I'm particularly, I wouldn't say nervous, I just feel lost a little bit with the market at the moment.
Do you know what? I think everyone does to an extent. But I think on the whole, and I know this is classic answer for an estate agent to give, but on the whole, it's actually quite good.
Yeah,
you've already picked it up really in terms of how much London can change from street to street, and that couldn't be truer. But specifically in North London, North West London, the big family homes, anything where someone can take a long-term view on, it's so resilient.
Mm.
You know, people don't need to be concerned about what's going to happen in the next 1 to 2 years. because they can take a 10-15 year view. And I definitely think, as much as there's not that confidence in London short term, there's definitely historic confidence in London, you know, as per people we go and see that bought a house for 29,000 30 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, the cost of those people moving is extortionate.
It is, yeah.
And the rate at which things happen is slow. So I guess my question is really, what feels like, if you could tell me two or three of the biggest things that have changed in the last 5 years since you've been at the same firm, in the same area? Because we sort of briefly touched this morning on the fact that there are no investors buying, especially not 2 million plus.
Well, that's definitely one thing, investors are not buying, but they haven't been in the market for a long time, you know, since the changes.
Why do you think they're not buying?
There's just not enough value anymore. You know, the government have made it so much harder for investors to get margin, and particularly in areas like North, Northwest London, they're competing with some really ambitious, I guess, end users. You know, money's so cheap at the moment and has been for a while. It's cheaper than it has been since 2009, most mortgage applications on record last month, but it's cheap to borrow money. You know, end users are willing to pay a premium to buy somewhere, even in this market, if they're taking a longer term view, which limits the options for investors. There's not, that no one is giving away margin anymore when they can sell to an end user for more.
So are you saying to me that the sort of end user market is still as good? Obviously, it can't be as good as it has been in the heights. Transaction volumes.
So we've sold 40% more houses this year from that office in Islington.
So last year you sold 140, this year's
40%
more. Sold 40% more houses.
But what I will be honest about is that the mid market is struggling.
Fine. So let's just drill down to that just because I'm interested. So 2 million plus.
You'd probably say anything that can qualify as that hit that long term demographic, so someone that's planning a long-term move. So maybe it's a bit lower, you probably say sort of 1.5 upwards, but it's property type as much as it is price point.
You can answer it, Red, if it rings, don't worry, we'll hang up.
It's just long-term, it's that long-term view that gives the confidence that makes that market resilient. So family homes, I promise you, we're still seeing sealed bids, we're still seeing bids over asking price. It is insane. It's a busy
market.
About,
okay, I'm still going to come back to this because I'm not buying it yet.
Yeah.
I don't understand your classification. It's like saying family homes. Is it over? Because then you said smaller houses have been hit.
It's anything where someone can take a longer term view. So where the market's struggling is the mid-market, right?
Mid-market
Mid-market where someone's making a 2 to 5 year plan. So maybe that classic move you would have made pre-kids, pre-house, you might have bought a 2/3 bed masonette before you jump to a house.
Okay.
The reason that's not moving is twofold. It's because people are concerned about negative equity in that time period. We've seen it since 2015 at that end of the market. And it's stamp duty. They don't want to pay stamp duty twice.
So people hold on for longer where they are, and then they make a bigger move when they're ready. Yeah. So they're saving up, living cheaper, saving up for longer, making use of cheap mortgage rates.
Well, this is it. They leverage. If you look at money now, I mean, it's insane. You can borrow 90% LTV at like under 2%, well under 2% instances.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. You know,
we've got cash buyers borrowing money because it just makes sense.
In some places in Europe now, they're negative interest rate mortgages. Wow. They'll pay you take money from them. And I think that's a sign of the time. So let's talk about price for a second. Have you seen, you must have in your 7 years plus seen the same house recycled, at least identical houses, because Islington's full of like streets of very, very similar properties.
Sure.
So where's price at? Is stuff trading, how much lower is stuff trading at than
houses? I'm not saying any different to what I would have said to that. What most people would consider the peak, summer 15. I'm not saying any different when I'm valuing. We're selling within 3% of list price. So that is fine.
Again, so the price has not been affected?
Not gone down for family homes where you can take that long-term view, no.
Yeah.
Mid-market, yeah. You know, I mean, I'd have to speak to research to give you exact figures, but ballpark 25-30% for that mid-market down.
Yeah.
Which is why, going back to your question about investors, I'm slightly surprised we haven't seen more investors come back to the fore, because for me,
if you could buy the same house for same flat for 700 grand completely, that was previously £1 million,
I'd just sit on it. I'd just buy it, sit on it, rent it out.
Yeah, I mean, the problems you've highlighted are The cost of just buying it in the first place and rents, how have rents moved? Do you get involved much in the rental market?
Market's always busy. I mean, most, I think if you speak to most real estate agency companies, not to be crass, but most of them will say lettings are outbanking sales.
Yeah.
You know, that's a consistent busy market.
Yeah. Is it growing? It
definitely is, because what, you know, as much as I'm saying our market is resilient, which it is, there are going to be plenty of people in that mid market. If you've got the option to hold, you hold.
Yeah.
So they've got all that additional stock.
Yeah.
It's natural if the sales market is struggling or more tricky than it has been previously, lettings market's going to benefit.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
Yeah, it feels like I'm trying to catch you out, which I'm not.
No.
I'm just, you know, I'm interested because you've got a very unique, a unique standpoint, which is firstly, you see it every day at quite a high level. And secondly, you've been through, you know, different cycles. So you should have more of a kind of gut feel for where things are going. It's quite positive. Obviously, no one wants to hear the B word anymore. It's definitely not helping. We're not getting anywhere, in my view. That doesn't feel like there's any good news on the horizon. It's so I think it's been very difficult to be an independent agent. Some who have hung on for a very long time will struggle, which is why I guess firms like yours are making acquisitions. I assume they're making acquisitions for good people, and also for income producing kind of lettings and management books.
I think you do it for the books, for the brand, as in for our brand, because a lot of them are going to be
branded.
Knowledge now, Green & Co will be rebranded Hamptons. And I think the logic is to connect, get into parts of London without having to find a spot on the high street.
Do you need to be on the high street anymore? Do you? I'm not even saying one extreme to the other of online agencies, but what is the value?
I think we, you know, we get asked that a lot, and it's obviously a natural question. I'm sure companies are asking, given how expensive rent is, especially on places like Upper Street where I am.
Sure.
I do think it's still important. I do still think you have to have a presence. I do still think there's a generation of people in some pretty exceptional, expensive property in Islington that want a high street branch, and they want to be able to walk in and discuss with you face to face. Do you think there is still that generation that are selling? Whether that's the case in 10, 20 years, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, I'm definitely aware that the way we sell property and the way we market property is changing.
Tell me what's changing, apart from, maybe it's a good time to segue into Instagram. Your sort of side hustle, really.
Yeah. I'm sure Hamptons would be happy with that. Yeah, side hustle, not a side hustle.
It's not a side. Okay, maybe not. I mean, look, I'm interested just because.
I know what you mean. I just think the market's going a different way. I think people want, you know, the old saying obviously is people buy from people, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's the same sort of thing on Instagram. I think people want to know the person that's selling their home. I think you can sit there with a client, as I do, on appraisals and, you know, go through stats and figures and market reports and this, that and the other. But the reality is, I think they really want to know and trust the person that they're selling to. And I think that they're selling with. And I think what Instagram enables you to do is give a really candid insight into your life.
Yeah.
And I definitely think there have been brands, particularly the big corporates, you know, in the past that have pushed back against it, just because it's not what maybe the top brass are accustomed to or comfortable with. It might seem a bit strange for someone that's meant to be presenting this really professional, slick appearance to be, you know, posting pictures of them messing around with their kids or them lying on a sunbed on a holiday. But guess what? That's what people do in their spare time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it shouldn't be a shock. And I think what it enables you to do is break down those barriers. You know, the listings that I brought on and sold via Instagram.
Tell us about, let's go back and tell us about, how did you start? When did you start it? What was your thought at the time? And has that obviously evolved as you've started?
Yeah, I just started getting a sense the market was going that way. In truth be told, I've started following a few LA realtors.
Yeah.
So people like Hutch Johnston, a guy called Ed works for Compass, actually originally worked for Foxtons in London.
Yeah.
And I started following him and like these LA mansion tours that he did. And I remember being really fascinated with them and just thinking, this is definitely the way
I can do that.
It's going. Yeah, exactly. I can do this. Why is no one, you know, you've obviously got a few big flagship names, of course you do in the UK, but not many UK agents do it. And I just saw there was an angle there to do the same, for, you know, with my London property tours and show people around these houses via video and via commentated presented walkthrough.
Yeah.
But what I was saying, what and it's evolved as over time, as you say, what I definitely think it enables me to do is when I've listed and sold these houses, when I go to meet the person at the house that's came via Instagram, I can only describe it as it feels like you know them already.
Yeah.
It feels like you're friends with them
already. Definitely feels like they know you.
Yeah, exactly. I've gone into houses before and they've given me a hug rather than a handshake. And it's like, okay, wow, you know, this is working.
What's Hampton's view on like the way that you're growing that account?
They're happy with it for sure. I think, you know, if I'm going to be candid, they originally perhaps fell into that category that a lot of the big corporates do, of being a bit unsure.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that just stemmed from not knowing enough.
Yeah.
And now I know, you know, some people may be aware, there was an announcement by my company to close all the individual pages and focus primarily on the main Hamptons page. My account is still running and that's being encouraged and backed.
So is everyone else having to stop using their personal accounts?
Yeah, everyone bar me with a brand association has had to stop. And I think that is a good thing on the whole, because I think what it enables them to do is control slightly more what content is put out there.
Yeah.
But give autonomy to the right people.
Yeah, no, which makes sense to me. I mean, ultimately, you are representing Hamptons when you know, the way you dress and who you meet and what you say, because you work for them. Having said that, they're also buying into you, which is you want to do things well but differently. Mm-hmm. And I saw a post from you about, which is not uncommon at all, and I think people just need to understand that this is the way it works now, that you had X amount of sales or instructions won through Instagram. What's your view of what others should be doing, you know, where they want to make a start or they want to understand how it's working or how they can really make a difference?
I think you actually summarized it when we were off air. I think people being themselves is a huge, huge part of it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do social media properly, consistently as well, you're not going to be able to put on an act for every single post you do. So there has to be an element of you just being yourself.
Yeah, agree.
Again, a bit of a cliche answer, but that's what I found to yield me the best results. From the people that have contacted me. And try and keep your feed and stories very different, in terms of there's certain content that's ideal for stories and there's certain content that's ideal for feed. I always prefer, certainly the people I follow and what I've tried to mimic with my page, quite a clean feed. Similar-ish images. Doesn't get too mixed up on your feed, and then you can save your stories for testing out new content. That's the way I would.
Happy medium or an optimum level to post on either? Do you have like a content plan in your head, or?
Yeah, so I wish it was that organized as like having a plan. I've got an outline, I'd say, and I think what I try and do is the stories I try and do really consistently. That gets me the most engagement and the most interaction by far. That's what gets me the DMs, that's what gets me the intros. Which is surprising when you look at the ratios of likes and comments on posts versus stories, right? But more people interact with the stories for whatever reason. So I try and do that daily. Posts, ideally, you want to be doing daily, but obviously, as this is my side hustle, I've got a main job as well. So it takes a phenomenal amount of time. That's what I think people won't appreciate, how much time you have to put into it. So the posts are probably every couple of days.
And where do you see it going? Like, what's your vision for
your
page? Is it literally just a sales tool for you that you enjoy, or do you have
at the moment, I don't know what it is. Right? It's working. That's as much as I know, and it's brought me, you know, near on 10% of our yearly business, and I only started running it last October. So at the moment, it's just working. So I'm just going to continue with it. But I can fully anticipate a day where that's how you sell property. I mean, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, I can definitely see that becoming a reality. I'm not saying there won't be a need for high streets or big firms, and I'm not saying we'll go as far as the US in terms of individual realtors, you know, representing people as opposed to big corporate companies. But it's, what can I say? You know, if I've done this with minimal investment from you know, social media managers or professionals in that field, and it's bared the results it has for me.
Yeah.
I just can't understand how it wouldn't be.
It's great for you as well that no one else is allowed to do it in your office.
Yeah, I've got my eye on a few people. I don't let him.
He's good.
Yeah, no, I think there's a balance, right? You've got some companies like Keller Williams, the American brand, which are in the UK, which basically let everyone go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got other brands which are absolutely, you know, I'd assume against it because there's no pages from individuals there. And you've got Hamptons, which seemingly at the moment is, in my view, is a good blend. So there's loads of.
Well, it sounds like they're learning and adapting, which is what you want from an employer. You want them to not just say someone's made a decision, that's it.
Definitely, yeah.
It would be difficult if they said to you. I'm assuming it would be very difficult if they said to you, "That's it, we don't want to do it anymore."
I mean, I think obviously, look, let's be real about it. I think the results are a big part of the reason. If I had no results, they're obviously going to be like, well, it's not working.
Yeah, and you'd be less bothered about,
so it's working, so I want to continue it, and they want me to continue it. I think it's probably, in a lot of people's eyes, quite rare that, or quite unusual maybe, that someone like a big corporate who maybe is a bit more, maybe the perception is they're a bit more rigid, would give you that flexibility. But I think, you highlighted it, right? Moving with the times.
Yeah, definitely.
Adjusting as they go, so yeah.
So what's a typical day look like for you as an agent? I think it's an interesting insight for people to be able to kind of catch up with
definitely.
You.
So most days, it's an early start. Most days, like, I'll be up at 5, couple of coffees, Barry's or gym. So I just love to
every
start
day.
Not Barry's every day.
Yeah, but I mean, workout, yeah.
Not every day, but yeah, I work out every day for sure. For me, I think you alluded to it earlier or said it earlier, the mental health thing is big for me. Like, I can be and have been in the past quite an anxious person. Mm. And for me, doing that in the morning just burns off all that extra anxious energy. So it's so, so important for me. And then moving on to, you know, answering emails a lot of the time from my phone. I'm usually ready to go, clear desk by 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And then it involves meeting people and valuing property for the vast majority of the day, bar obviously team meetings in the morning and at close of play. That really is a...
What is your actual job at the moment at Hamptons?
So I'm associate director, but my day-to-day job is running that Islington office, which is the flagship number one office across the whole group.
Awesome.
And primarily I just value over 1.5 million, so the more upper end houses in Islington, which probably start at about 1.5, probably cap at, I mean, I saw something at 8 the other week, but that's really rare for that part of town.
I think there's only one detached house in Islington, isn't there?
That is a new fact for me, so I'm going to use that.
I'm sure there is only one detached house. I'll find out, because
there's one I saw recently, which was a new build detached, but maybe period. You wouldn't surprise me if you were right. We did just sell one in Highbury detached, but N5, not N1.
Yeah, it's loads of them.
You could be right, actually. That's interesting.
Highbury. Yeah, I've spent some time walking around there, going to Arsenal.
I'm sure you have. Yeah. Good day for Spurs last night.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a QPR fan.
Serge Gnabry, definitely.
Yeah.
QPR fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Do you follow football?
Season ticket holder.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Play football on Sundays.
So you manage that with the kids and early morning starts.
I'm surprised she lets me get away with it, to be honest. But it's going well so far.
Have you got any questions for me?
Oh, God.
Don't need to put you on the spot.
You definitely 100% have. I mean, I think I know some of it from speaking to you before, but what's the plan for you? Where are you going with this? Is this what you do? This is your full
This
time?
Is me now. I like to... I mean, it's a very, very good question. I'm much, much less fixated on the destination than I ever have been before. I spent a lot of my life thinking, this is where I want to get to, and I'm not stopping till I get there. And now I still have that mindset, but in kind of more specific plans. But really, I'm just trying to enjoy the journey. I'd never sat in front of a microphone before. I'd never recorded anything. I I just found that it was something interesting, a little bit like Instagram. Mm. I'd kind of got onto podcasts and thought, this is something new. It's kind of like modern radio as far as I'm concerned. People can listen to it and watch it whenever they want. And because I'm enjoying it, I want to do more. Mm. And I like learning about myself. I like learning about other people. I wouldn't get the opportunity to sit and talk to a lot of the people that I have done so far. And to me, that's just sort of broadening my knowledge base. And also, I think otherwise you just spend so much time focusing on yourself and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So I'm very, very focused on the journey, but I'm also incredibly driven. I've got very high targets that I want to achieve. I think the big thing for me that's changed, I still feel like I'm going to get there, but I'm less relaxed about how long it takes me. I'm doing three main things at the moment. I've got a lending company called Tab, which is a kind of recreation of another business that I started 10 or 15 years ago. So we lend money secured on property. We're like a bridging lender, short-term loans secured on property. And I do genuinely enjoy it. We've got two sides to the business. We've got people who borrow money, and then we've got people who put their money to work in these types of loans. And I've always found that that business has got everyone's kind of a winner. So the debt is quite expensive, but it allows people to exchange and complete really quickly and to buy something they may not have been able to buy. And for investors, returns are still 6, 7, 8, 9% per annum, whilst taking a short-term view. The only caveat to all of that is I really don't have a clue what's going on with property. And I, you know,
you don't really need to, though, I guess, from that side. It'd be handy to have.
Well, look, we lend at 70% loan to value.
Yeah.
You just told me that there are in Islington, which is robust, and in some areas of the market is strong, and even there are £1 million properties that might not even get 700 now. And I know from my experience that I sold a flat in West Hampstead recently, and I couldn't have guessed the nearest £100,000 what it'd be worth. So that worries me from a lending perspective, because the whole point of being secured is that whatever happens, if the shit hits the fan, you will recover your money. And we're taking the opposite of what you said about how to invest in property now, which is we're taking a 1 year view. You know, in a year's time, we need our money back. So you need to sell or refinance. And I'm acutely aware of the fact that we just need to be careful. I want to build a long-term business that stands the test of time. My track record is impeccable. We lent billions of pounds while I was at my previous firm, and I don't want to get carried away right now. And I've got a residential block management company as well, which manages over 5,000 residential units, quite a wide patch. I love that business. I mean, I bought the majority stake of it about 2 years ago, and it's just taught me a lot, because I thought I knew why I was buying it and what it was going to do for me. But again, playing the long game with that business, it's managing freeholds, managing leasehold property for the freehold investment is potentially 100 years of income or more if you get it right.
Yeah, for sure.
And with technology changing and Instagram and all these different ways where you can actually build proper in-depth relationships with your customers, I think that's a huge opportunity. So that's taking some of my time, and that's being run by Gary Kane, who's the managing director, and he's doing a fantastic job, and he's learning more about how to build and grow a business. And I really do just enjoy having the two sort of completely different businesses. Although everything kind of related to that first day when I showed up at Urban Spaces and I thought, I just love real estate. Like, I look out this window pretty much every day at the Landmark Hotel, and it just fascinates me how long it's been here.
I think you have to, you know, absolutely love what you do, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting what you just said as well about hard work, but maybe being less focused on the destination.
Yeah.
Because I think if you rewind 10 years ago for me, I was very much focused on the destination.
Yeah.
Like it was like CEO, head of, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
And certainly over the last couple of years, I've actually realized, you know what, do me, work as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And then see what options come up. Enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, not just convenient, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that comes with age as well. I mean, one of my things is I don't want to work. I don't ever want to work for someone. Not because I'm too proud to, but I feel like I want to back myself.
Yeah.
And I feel that there is no fear of failure. I'm happy to kind of literally fail in the public domain. I mean, part of what I'm doing on all the social stuff is documenting my journey, good and bad. And to that end, the third thing I'm doing is I've got this idea to open up real estate investments to everyone, using everything we've pretty much discussed this morning. So long-term property, I believe, is a good investment.
Yeah.
Parking your capital in property that produces income for 25, 50 years is a good bet. And I want to kind of reduce the barriers to entry. So I want 100 people to be able to come together and own one income producing property using something called fractional ownership, basically. So we break down an asset into £1,000 pieces and we could all buy a share of it.
It makes complete sense.
And then the second stage of that is to allow people to trade in and out. So it's a kind of Betfair style bid and offer system. And I'm busy building technology. And
is there anything like that out there at the moment?
Yeah, there's a few things. There's a few things that have tried. I would say kind of prove that there is a market.
I mean, it sounds, on the face of it, it sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, fractional ownership is fractional ownership is the way forward. Mm. People don't want to put all their eggs into one basket. They want to spread their risk and they want to buy into the ability for someone else to carry out some of the background checks. I just think the way people invest in property is broken.
Yeah.
The painful structure of buying and selling is just impossible. You know, your lawyer's arguing with my lawyer about a property that I bought 2 years ago where my lawyer was arguing with another lawyer. And you must see it every day, banging your head against the wall.
Yeah, half the
mortgages are cheap, but fucking painful at best. And also you become beholden to the bank. So they have first charge. They make decisions. You can't do anything without their permission. Mm. At the end of the term, you've got to pay them back. The costs can fluctuate. At the moment, we're in a low interest rate environment, but who fucking knows what's going to happen? It is literally like the Wild West out there. As well as being a debt provider, I've also got this bee in my bonnet about we don't need the banks. We don't need to borrow money to buy property.
It's innovative and it's not something I've actually ever seriously talked about or considered before. But
well, we'll talk about it more.
We'll talk about it more
because I'm keen to hear as many different views as I possibly can. Mm. And in the meantime, it's sort of evolving all the time. And watch this space. I'll fill you in with what we're doing. It's been great. I've really, really enjoyed it.
It's been good to
meet you. I mean, Ed should get a little shout out because I'm sure he'll be very happy.
Yeah.
Ed Bloom introduced us, basically just tagging us both in the 5 a.m. club.
Yeah.
And that to me is like some common ground already. It's like, okay, we've got.
Completely. Yeah, and I think that, you know, that in itself shows how Instagram works
as
well.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone wants to talk to us, slide into our DMs.
Tag us in a post
at 5 a.m. and you could be sitting here next week.
Yeah.
Great. Pleasure to meet you.
Awesome.
It's been great.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What more can I say? Grant, thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you.